wonder how Africa remains exploited. The systems of corruption playing between political leaders, illicit businessmen, and actual governments. This is a prime example. Like, if you want to understand in a way some of the big challenges Africa faces in terms of what prevents us from moving forward, you should go watch this document.
Yeah.
Here's our governments that are supposed to be working for the people.
Yeah.
Healthcare, infrastructure, clean water, electricity, all of these things that we lack as African countries that are being called third world.
Yeah.
And here are the people who have that responsibility busy focusing on fattening their pockets. You cannot copy and paste that among how many African countries?
Not only how many African countries, but how many African commodities, right? This documentary is just talking about gold. Imagine the rest. Wagwan people, what's going on? Akwaba, bienvenue.
Bienvenue.
You know what I'm saying? Welcome back to TJMTM. I'm your co-host, DJ Anzo, here with my boy, Uncle Ian, the place to be.
Come on.
And today, we're back with what, episode 8?
8. Wow.
Again, DHL.
Oh my God. Two-day shipping.
Yo, like we should probably start a shipping company at this point,
at
bro.
This point, we're supreme logistics. Hmm? Like,
right.
We're just supreme out here.
Bezos, talk to us, bro. We'll get your operation right. welcome back, y'all. This is the Jola Mista Madi podcast. If you don't know who we are, as we introduce ourselves, the mission of this podcast is to edutain you on all things African. So whether that's African culture, African food, music,
history,
all the above, we're here to discuss that. And the perspective that we're giving is two African millennials just canoeing through this thing we call life out here in the diaspora in an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed.
You know what I'm saying? Got to keep that locked. But yeah, man, E-boy, what's been going on? Like,
man, you know, wrapping up the holy month of course, Ramadan.
Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim brothers and sisters.
It went by very quick.
Yeah.
But mashallah, just, you know, it's been a great month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's been on my end.
Yeah.
Just big halal energy throughout.
Come on. Always.
Come on. Throughout.
We're not doing nothing haram.
You see what I'm saying, big man? No. I just hate ungodly acts.
Oh, man. But, yeah, today I'm even feeling a bit conflicted.
Yes.
You know me, I like my gold, right?
Yes, you do. He got that S on.
You see what I'm saying? And today, we came across something that was very enlightening, right?
Yes.
Which is the gold mafia. Now, for those of you who don't know what the gold mafia is, it's a series of documentaries that Al Jazeera has dropped over the past month.
About the past month.
Racking up millions of views. And we came across it. And when we saw it, we were like, we have to speak on this, right? Essentially, what it is it's an undercover investigation that exposes the corruption between African leaders, corrupt businessmen, and just sort of the syndicate of laundering gold. Laundering money and exploiting gold.
Yes.
Right? On the continent. Primarily, part one focuses on Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Kenya, mainly Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And it just exposes that whole operation. What were your high-level thoughts on the documentary?
Well, as you mentioned, if you ever wonder how Africa remains exploited, the systems of corruption, playing between political leaders, illicit businessmen, and actual governments, this is a prime example. Like, if you want to understand in a way some of the big challenges Africa faces in terms of what prevents us from moving forward, you should go watch this documentary.
Yeah.
It was just a like very symbolic. Mm-hmm. It highlights 2-3 countries, but to me, I'm like, this is exactly our issue. Like, it just shows,
yeah,
in a way, not even in a way, like, this is living proof in my way, living proof,
right,
of here we are, here's our governments that are supposed to be working for the people.
Yeah.
Healthcare, infrastructure, clean water, electricity, all of these things that we lack as African countries that are being called third world.
Yeah.
And here are the people who have that responsibility busy focusing on fattening their pockets. You cannot copy and paste that among how many African countries?
Not only how many African countries, but how many African commodities, right? This documentary is just talking about gold. Imagine the rest.
I'm just saying, exactly. So, yeah. But to answer your question, appalled.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
You know what it is.
You're not surprised, but you're still appalled that this is still going on.
Yeah.
And you're still appalled because there is no progress.
You see, the thing that got me is how people operate with such impunity. Like, it is bewildering.
With arrogance. Bro.
It's I don't even have the words for it. So I think let's just play some clips from it.
Okay.
It's kind of about the criminal underworld of it. This is part one here.
Yeah, so let's hear it.
Let's turn up the volume on this.
President.
Wow.
So at the war, he became advisor to the President Moi. So then he gave, exclusivity.
Patney's company, Goldenberg International, is granted an exclusive license to export Kenyan gold. Instead, gold from what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo is smuggled into Kenya. He sells it abroad and receives a 35% commission from the government. In total, Patney pockets $600 million. It's shared with Arap Moi and the government officials who gave him the license.
Kamlesh Patney is a criminal mastermind, is the only word to describe him. He managed to implement a illicit gold money laundering scheme.
What a shocker.
Bro, 600 M's.
So is this man managed to embezzle $600 million through illegal trading of gold?
Through smuggling.
Through smuggling of gold from Congo to Kenya.
To Kenya.
Via the Kenya government.
Correct. So his commission is 35%, right? Because he smuggled that amount of gold in. He smuggled a certain amount of gold in. His commission was 35%. He pocketed 600 M's, bro.
Who's this guy?
Fam.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those where, again, of course it's I don't want to say of course, but clearly it's a non-African.
Yeah.
That is out here who understands the greed of our politicians, yep, our leaders,
yep,
and is like feed one mouth,
mm-hmm,
and enrich yourself. That's all how I see it.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I think he was like part of the Indians that came and settled in East Africa,
okay,
or at least his parents did, and he might have been born somewhere in East Africa. I'm not sure.
So he's not a foreigner.
I mean, that's subjective, but he's not a foreigner.
It's fine. Right? I guess that's kind of even irrelevant, like, in this.
Right, yes. Because they're going to keep their customs and stuff.
Of course.
They're not going to act as Kenyans or whatever. But yeah, he's basically nationalized at that point. I don't know his history. But how wild is it that I mean, okay, so context. We've talked about how we feel about some of these leaders in the past.
Yes.
Right? These old pas, grandpas, whatever the case
vacate
may be.
Vacate the place.
Need to vacate the place. But then you hear things like this and you see proof of it, right, in the pudding. Guy is over here like boasting about how he's done.
Confidently.
About what he's done in the past. And it's like, what we're saying is, has never been more true, right?
It's like, true, Anzo.
How can you guys walk around and look at an average Kenyan or look at an average Somali or look at whatever, wherever you're from, and you walk around with your 600 M's and you're like, yep, life's good for me. And then you say Africa first.
But Amzo, this is how a lot of African presidents remain in power.
Yeah.
Being funded and sponsored by these quote-unquote businessmen who fat in their pockets, give them the money they need for campaigns to remain president-elect, in return for them making 15, 20 times more.
Yeah.
35% commission, $600 million?
Yeah.
Well, I just have to give the president a couple of M's on that?
Yeah.
Come on. This is how African presidents, a lot of them, this is the greed, this is the power, this is why they never want to leave. Because there are these businessmen who know their game,
mm-hmm.
and they play to it, as we see here.
Yep. I really want to get into the psychology of that. Like, at what point do you feel like, there's got to be a point where you've made so much money that you don't even think about money.
There's never enough money for these people.
For these people, yeah. But so I really want to get into the psychology of that. Like, why? You're a civil servant, right? When you were growing up, you said, I want to be a civil servant.
Yeah,
I
want to serve your other country.
People. Mm-hmm. I want to serve my country. But then that stuff happens. Like,
morality goes out of the way the moment you start enjoying the luxuries of power.
Right.
It is a common denominator among all of these African leaders. And if you're doing business, especially illegitimate business, and figures that out and play to that game, win-win. It's a win-win for the businessman and the president. Mm-hmm. And it's a lose-lose for the common African man or woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, and the country, and the development. Lose-lose, win-win for them.
Mm-hmm.
Repeated cycle, how many times?
And I just have so many questions.
You know, it's just like, dang, bro.
I'm thinking, are these the same African leaders that try to instill values?
What values?
Into our schools and into our communities and blah, blah, blah. And then turn around and do that.
Nothing. It's a shame, man. It's so much of a shame. We, like, what's the point? We fought for independence, had our founding fathers, all of them made sure that we were free from the shackles.
From the shackles of...
One, we never became free.
Right.
We never united. Not only that, those who were given the responsibility to be in power and actually progress us
mm-hmm.
towards not only unity, being independent, prosperity, are the same ones that are killing us.
Mm-hmm. And I get the idea that we're just getting a small piece of the puzzle here, you know?
Y'all need to watch this documentary.
It's, to say the least, unfathomable. Like, y'all need to check that stuff out. Let's get into another clip here with the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe.
So Zimbabwe, just a quick context mm-hmm. for this documentary. Zimbabwe Bank has no money because their currency is pretty much...
It's worthless.
It's worthless.
Outside of Zimbabwe anyway.
So now they're facilitating, and their sanctions,
mm-hmm.
they're facilitating using gold almost as their proxy currency, as pseudo currency for that.
Correct.
But the process, clearly, as we're about to find out here, yeah. is nothing short of shady. Oh, boy.
If you pay attention to macroeconomics, you know kind of the story of the downfall of Zimbabwe back when the sanctions were first placed. People were spending like $30 trillion to buy a loaf of bread in Zimbabwean currency. Like, people were wheeling wheelbarrows of money. That's how bad their inflation got.
Jeez.
To just go buy the basic needs.
Jeez.
So that's context here. Let's get into this clip.
End of the gold mine in Zimbabwe. Get smuggled out.
They said to me, go out and get all the gold that's being smuggled out of the country.
Patnir McMillan buy the gold on behalf of the central bank.
When a person comes to sell me gold, I don't have to write his name down. I don't have to do anything.
Of
I just
course.
Take his gold, pay him, leave. I deliver it to the government. Government asks me no questions.
We do 20 to 50 million a week. This one is 3 million.
The gold is delivered to a company owned by Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank.
Fidelity Printers and Refiners Private Limited incorporates security and commercial printing, gold refining, buying operations, and a mission to provide printing solutions and gold products to satisfy diverse stakeholder needs.
Yo, this is wild. This is wild, Angel.
I don't even know what to say, bro. Like, so I hope y'all understand what's happening. Is basically the government is essentially funding, or at least subsidizing,
giving the paperwork
for this illegal
legalizing.
Wow.
And here you are, you have this Oyibo man busy talking about how easy it is.
Yeah, the South African guy. Let's get into another clip here. It's speaking a little bit on just kind of that process. So here.
Let's hear it.
The competing mafias fly the gold to Dubai and sell it there. They bring the proceeds back to Zimbabwe in US dollars cash. The government needs US dollars because the local currency has no international value. The dollars buy more gold from the miners and fund further exports. The gold mafias use this scheme to launder money. They offer to help Mr. Stanley.
What would normally happen is we'd bank the gold, get the US dollars and fly it home to Zimbabwe.
Instead, Mr. Stanley is told to set up a gold trading company and bank account in Dubai. He can now get a license to import gold into the United Arab Emirates.
You're going to tell the bank that we're going to be trading in commodities or gold. The money will come to that account all the time.
So, yo, this documentary was crazy. Like,
we're talking about a sovereign African nation.
Yeah, yeah. Who deposed their old leader because, Mugabe was there for a long time, but what democracy or what changes have really come to Zimbabwe after that?
They all see this. It's as if it's I'm telling you, they all see this. Come in, oh yeah, this is a dictator, this guy needs to go. Oh yeah, we don't have any progress, we're a change, we're opposition. Come in, oh yep, same cycle, worse.
All it is a bunch of old men feeling like it's their turn.
That's literally, it's literally that.
That's all it is.
Literally.
It's like, you've gone on for too long, my turn.
It's now. My turn to chop.
Even like in Nigeria, right? They just had their elections. You literally saw Tinubu say verbatim, it's my turn now. Like, that's the only reason he wanted to become president.
That's all it is.
Like, no manifesto, no proper goals for the nation.
Nothing.
You know, no serious agenda. Just, it's my turn.
No plan.
Guy.
Here we are. Look at this. We're out here seeing, you know, a South African man, you know, Indian, African guy.
Emiratis,
Dubai involved in this, all part of this, you know, ecosystem of just extracting gold resources from Africa, enriching themselves. And guess what the countries and the people have in return?
Nothing. How do you think African leaders can justify their involvement with illegal activities?
How can they justify it?
Or how do you think they justify it?
I don't even know, bro. Like, this is inexcusable.
Yeah.
It's just no accountability. Who's going to check them?
Mm-hmm.
We don't do coup d'etats anymore. You know? Now I understand why military men who were like our age said, enough is enough. Yeah. Let's go get these guys out of power.
For
like,
sure.
It totally makes sense.
I completely understand that.
This is why we had coup d'etats.
Mm-hmm.
This is why young military men, especially in the 80s to 90s, said enough is enough with this. These old leaders, they are not going to do anything to help the nation but just fight in their pockets.
Yeah.
So they get up and kick them out. You see, and like I said, look at like the Sankaras. Even look at us, Gambia. You have this, then they come in and instill discipline. law and order.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, some do end up still being corrupted. Mm-hmm. But that's what I think. Mm-hmm. You just, at this point, like law, order, and an authoritative leadership, that's mm-hmm. what we need. Mm-hmm. But who's going to do it?
Well, clearly not these guys.
Not these guys.
You see, there's also always the counter argument of, like, say with the Arab Spring, right? When Libya became kind of, it was in a state of chaos, right?
Yeah, the Egypt. Now, yeah, Egypt, all of them.
There's always that counter argument. But, man, you can't, that's pears to apples, right? Those guys, you actually saw progress, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In Libya, you did your military service. You were given like a home, all this stuff, right? Citizens of those nations were properly taken care of. Poverty, yeah, maybe a little bit here and there, but nah, bro, them North Africans were living
yes,
good.
They had great universities.
You like, see? Some of the best in Africa, mosques,
they were
biggest,
they were
the nicest,
producing their own oil. Like
huge
amounts.
Amounts,
so they
of
were
oil.
Self-sufficient,
very self-sufficient,
not dependent right? on Western or foreign aid
at all. They were always negotiating from a position of power.
Yes,
so that's why that counter argument to me is always inept, because what do we have going on in
Zimbabwe? I don't understand.
Zimbabwe?
Nothing. Zimbabwe, Congo.
Congo. What's,
all of these mineral-rich countries, hmm? What do they have to show for it?
You know, Burkina Faso, like all these places. What's really going on? Except just more corruption.
More corruption.
And nothing of substance.
More corruption.
These old leaders eating money.
Eating money. And the businessmen who are giving them money, chopping 4, 5, 10 times more. Everyone eats, but the African people.
You see, even so, going back to that, remember the documentary we watched on FIFA?
It's the same thing.
Same thing. It's just in every aspect represented in everything.
Who would have thought that the gateway, a primary gateway to be classified a rich African, mm-hmm. is to hold a position of power? Mm-hmm. And be corrupt.
You start your corruption career.
Yes. It is not political careers. Exactly. These are corruption careers. You want to make it big time in Africa? Yeah, go get a government office.
Yeah.
And climb your corruption ladder.
There you go.
But then, Anzo, this is, you know what I say, it is sometimes I try to be optimistic, think things will change. Maybe next generation will come spark things. But it sometimes I'm like, is this just maybe wishful thinking?
I think there is opportunity, because our generation has the advantage of exposure. So as long as we continue to get exposed to more truths and exposed to more, there's more truths in general.
Yeah.
I think like you inevitably have to have a shift in the morality compass, because these men are just waste men, bro. Like, they care about themselves and nothing else. Let's talk about this last clip. This is a senior Zimbabwean ambassador in this clip.
Okay? A diplomat.
A diplomat. And a pastor, which I'll get into discussion with it.
At the beginning, at least 1 million something.
1 billion.
Yeah.
Now, we have done maybe for 200 million, 300 million, but we have not done for 1 billion per se.
Angel and his assistant take Mr. Stanley aside.
What are you doing? I'm again the largest diplomat in the country. Do you know I can carry him in a bag and nobody's allowed to touch his bag? I can carry him in a bag and nobody touches the bag. Right now, I can push a bag like this with 1.2 billion and put a red tape written diplomat. That's it.
He'll use his diplomatic cover to fly Mr. Stanley's $1.2 billion into Zimbabwe.
Imagine flexing that.
So it's a very, very easy thing.
Oh, okay.
It will end in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe can't touch it.
Yeah.
Until I get to my house.
We heard him loud and clear. It is a very easy, easy thing for him.
Woo! Now, context for that guy. He is a I think he was a pastor. I think he still is at a mega church. And then the president liked him so much because he was younger, so could appeal to the younger generation of Zimbabwe. And he got appointed to be an ambassador for Zimbabwe. Self-proclaimed second most important diplomat to the country behind the president. He thinks he's second in command.
Got him on speed dial.
Probably is second in command for all we know. But he's over here bragging about he can walk into Zimbabwe with $1.2 billion and nothing will happen to him.
By using his diplomatic privileges.
Yeah. Bro, like,
this is how they do. This is what they do, though. Shady dealings. There are many, how many cases? You can just Google it. You'll find countless cases of African diplomats arrested, you know, using their diplomatic privileges to the utmost level of illegal activity, all in the name of corruption and greed. And we expect people to take us seriously? Come on.
I'll take it a step further and say this is why I find so many Africans and so Africans within the continent and then Africans in the diaspora are moving away from Christianity is because of particularly people like this. How do you call yourself a man of God and you operate in such a manner with such impunity, right? And then you expect people to look at you as a role model. After this brother was exposed, I wonder how many people were hurt. I wonder how many people just gave up all hope. You see what I'm saying?
The immorality of these men.
Yeah.
We have to separate man from God with these guys.
I beg. Because it seems that they think they're God, man.
Well, this is what it is, though. It's, you know, I'm not surprised. Where the case, the talking man is talking about Zimbabwe, but if we were doing Al Jazeera investigative work on African ambassadors across all of these nations, let's see how many come up with dealings like this. You'll find a lot.
Without a doubt.
Way more are dealing like this. Bringing people, businessmen like that guy bragging to the president, making deals under the table.
I wonder how much this even scares certain people, if at all, because they operate with such impunity. But
well, as you mentioned, who's going to stop them?
Who will?
Who's going to stop them? Even people can complain, but who will? I told you, the only way these guys were being stopped was military men getting arms and coming in and said, get out.
Right. And now it feels like, you see, the other thing is we don't have checks and balances like the U.S.
No,
and the
media is not as powerful.
But I mean, even in government, right? Because here, say like here in intelligence, right? The CIA, FBI, you have like your local police, whatever the case may be, there's going to be some level of checks and balances.
Always,
like,
throughout all levels.
You see what I'm saying? Even the president is not the end all be all. The judicial system will come in, legislative will come in.
You have Congress, you see what I'm saying? Senate, like
there's so many checks and balances. But as the president or in certain positions back home, like you're walking on water, bro.
Bro, you're pretty much like a king. As Yao say, I do all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do all. you are whatever you want to do, you will get it done.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. No checks and balances, no accountability, no fierce media that is actually effective in a way that it can literally.
Any opposition?
Yes.
It's eliminated.
All about this at the end of the day. And if whoever is going to give them that, which is now a lot of, how many times we see it? Like businessmen that come, whether we talk about the Lebanese, have a lot of Indian businessmen. Now the Chinese, they all come in. And once they know that's the game, that's what they play. Win-win.
Yeah.
Except us, except the common people, except anyone who actually loves their nation and is just trying to see the country develop, progress, everyone live in prosperity, it's lose-lose for you.
You consider you a bozo. Like Bernard said, man, I be common passing. It's mad out here, bro.
Guys, go watch the documentary and just please let us know what you guys think. But again, we just talked about natural resources. Every season, every time, we'll talk about the corruption, how it's detrimental to our societies, how is we can't ever be away from the shackles that the Europeans, the colonialists, now the Chinese, we have to another degree, the Indians, the Lebanese. Like, it's okay. I'm not saying people shouldn't migrate to other areas for more opportunities, other countries, and prosper themselves. That's okay. But it's always at our cost. Like, it's always at a cost. Most African countries I go to, you look at people who are well off, people who are in quote-unquote in the upper class or, you know, doing well. Who do you predominantly find there? You'll find the Africans, the people who are actually from there, among the minority. Industries, businesses, all of those are typically foreign-owned. And the money will never stay. It's going to go out. So, yes, you can come to Africa, do business, have a great opportunity, prosper and stuff. But me speaking, what benefit does it have for us? Nothing. So
you have to have a strong mind to really like succeed with all that. So my people, these are the harsh realities that we're living with. And I mean, ultimately it falls on us to really change.
It falls on us, and we're not in power, but I think it's important to keep spreading awareness, keep talking about this thing. Because again, the whole goal is if we can collectively, especially from a generation standpoint, if we can collectively unite, first of all, identify the problem.
Well, we very clearly have...
Identify the problem, we need to show how these documentaries reveal. Reveal what's really going on. And then let's all work together on solutions, because this is not just Zimbabwe specific. It's not Kenya specific. It's not Congo specific. This is an African problem.
It's happening everywhere. And not just with gold. It's happening with coltan. It's happening with cobalt. It's happening with
diamonds.
It's happening with even, I'm sure, coffee to an extent. Like
cocoa.
It's happening everywhere.
Tea. Like, so, we can go on. Whatever... resources Africa has.
So my call to action, and you can give yours after this, is really to our generation, and our generation here, our generation back home, our generation everywhere. Let's clean up this act, yo. Like, I don't really have a whole lot of faith with the opas, the grandpas, those guys. It's a dub. Like, they've already done their damage. That's pretty irreversible right now, but let's start laying the groundwork. If you get into a position of power, approach it with a high level of ethics, right? Be ethical in your work, be thorough, have some morality, you know? That's my call to action for our generation, is going forward. Y'all need to do the work. We need to do the work. So when you get into those positions of power, don't abuse that power. Power is sweet, but power can also impact a whole generation to come. So that falls on us. That's my call to action. Do your part, and please don't be like these old pies. That's my call to action, man.
Facts.
You boy, you got anything?
I mean, I don't have anything to say, but just disappointment on the never-ending cycle. But as we mentioned, I would just like to first, as we're doing, highlight and reveal the problems, how it's affecting us right now. And if we don't stop this, it's now we have a reinforcing loop going on here of corruption, greed, new politician comes, new president, just a cycle. It's a reinforcing loop. And how do we break this loop? As you mentioned, accountability, awareness, and then eradicate those habits.
Yep.
But from our end, we're not in those positions of power. So I always say, how can we collectively group together to create a sense of media, a sense of civil society driven by accountability for being in a political position or in a position of leadership in an African country?
Mm-hmm.
Because as we mentioned, yes, right now, but in 10, 15, 20 years, who will be up next?
Yeah, that's literally us. So
we're just going to keep allowing this reinforcing loop of corruption, greed, exploitation. I just say, let's collectively come up with solutions together. And for my end, not being in the continent, or even if we do go back, it'd be, for me, I think the biggest driver, one, will be using like these platforms, the power of media and how quickly information can spread now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's collectively come up together and really hold these people accountable.
1,000%. And if we find out that anybody in our circles, you get into positions of power and you start abusing it, we will flog you personally.
We're coming for you. We're going to be Liam Nelson real quick.
You know, we will find you. Yeah, man, please, if you haven't got the opportunity to check out that documentary, there's four parts out now.
We'll send you guys the link.
Yeah, please check it out. It's really enlightening, bewildering, but nonetheless reality. If you haven't yet subscribed to our channel, please do. We appreciate the love. We appreciate the likes, the comments, the love, the hate. Everything. We love all of it. The shares, please keep supporting. We thank y'all for your time. And, you know, until next time, y'all stay blessed, stay humble, stay dangerous. Peace.